What's going on, guys? Zach Data here, and welcome back to Comic Talk, featuring your host, Kratos.
What up?
And his co-host, Tipster.
What's going on, everybody?
Well, a long hiatus, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, a hiatus is sometimes necessary to repair the wounds that may have been suffered from a long amount of holidays that we have endured. And overworking with lots of cheer, finally the cheer was sucked out by the over amount of hours that we seem to suffer from the days that we've worked.
It sounds well, like you what? Didn't enjoy the holidays.
Not really.
Well,
my holidays were actually good, just there's no work cringe just constantly running. With working in my two jobs, I was like, overload.
No more!
Well, plus, I mean, next year's holidays won't be as crazy for me. So, I mean, this is my first time back with holidays with my direct family in 5 years. If not longer for my, like, my aunts and cousins and stuff. My to the first holidays I've spent with them since I was 13.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
Not bad.
Good talk, guys.
Good talk. Wait. This is episode 18, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Does that mean we're technically legal adults now?
Oh, man. We grew up. We legal.
Dude, I know what I'm doing after this. I'm going to get porn.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. This is
the first time you become a
I was going to go straight for the lottery tickets, but I think you just, like, kind of changed my direction now.
Porn's sick.
The movie store. Excuse me, sir, but I'm looking for your adult films. Yeah, dude, the porns are in the back of the corner. But they're adult films. Yeah, porn back corner. Man, I understand. Family, mom, if their kids comes walking up to the counter staring at you and your weird looking stink eye, you stare back and say, "Well, at least I'm not going to make sure they get down pregnant to bear out kids that the world does not need at this present time." You wink. You go grab your movie, you pay your $5, and you walk out the door happy to see some pleasure without an aggravation.
Nice.
What?
Oh, it's good to know that we haven't changed.
What do you mean we haven't changed?
We can't even move through the intro. It's like, oh, look, we're 18. Let's derail. Change, of course.
Clearly, had some things to get off his chest. Oh, shit. All right.
So we want to get this show going.
Get to the top.
Yeah, let's do it.
What we got on the docket for today is sex criminals.
Seems appropriate now that we're adults.
Yeah.
Yes. See, told you it's going to go by porn in the back.
The new X-Force comic and the return of Maddie in the X-Men comics. If for you guys that don't know, Madeline Pryor, Cable's mother. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, somebody's happy.
Yes. DC Future End. That looks really interesting. And Green Arrow. What?
The comic, just saying.
Yes, the comic. That's what we talk about here. Comic books.
And everything else, but...
That's true. Alright, let's get into Sex Criminals. You're the one that's read this whole thing. I've only read issue one, so... Take it away, Tipster.
Oh, dude, Sprungville, this fucking book is something else, man. It is awesome on so many levels. This is like the best book for like 18 to like 35. Especially if like you just want some crazy fucking weird comic to sit down and read, if not for 10 minutes, and you open and flip through the pages. Gorgeous artwork, great writing, overall phenomenal book. This shit is great. You want to know how I really feel? No, I'm just kidding.
Tell us how you really feel.
This is top of the line. This is Mad Faction at its best. I don't think you can get any better than this, to be honest with you. A lot of people told me, some people at the shop told me, this book is great. Because it's not like a comic. I mean, it has its comic elements, but it also has a very kind of just a weird sci-fi porno type feel in a strange way. I think you could agree with the issue that you've read. Can you not, Kratos?
Yeah. It's definitely a sci-fi porno. That's a good way to put it. There's a lot of sex, and it's a lot of weird things happen when she has sex.
Ooh, wait, you didn't get to the day yet, have you? Did I just?
No, spoil? Yeah, they do. It happens towards the end of the first issue. She's like, "What? You're here? Why is your penis glowing?"
Oh yeah. That's cool. I want my penis to glow after I'm done. Happy but I'm just saying, let's stay on topic here. But I mean, honestly, if you pull up the blanket and you look down, your penis is glowing, and she's like, "Oh my god, that's fucking awesome!" And you know that you have a disease. I mean, you'd be on Twitter and that shit. You'd be like, "Oh, dude, check out this cock!" And then next in the news is Obama screwed this up. You know, it could be someone who you could be famous because of the thing that dangles between your legs.
You'd probably become a science experiment, though.
No, fuck that. I was wrong.
Why does this man's penis glow after he comes?
Then I'll be like...
And
then
we have to dissect it and find out.
No!
Exactly. Then Free Willy style, no pun intended. That you just become going like, "You're never gonna get me! Be free! Be free! Uncaged! I'm gonna run into the forest and never be seen again." Living off the ground. You will never catch, and I'll have some crazy Amazon chicks.
All they'll see is the subtle glow in the woods. What is that? Oh, it's the old legend of Tipster, the glowing penis.
It turns out that whenever he comes, there's just an over of glow that comes from his penis. It's like the northern lights that attack in the skies. They're waving and shaving and looking look away, and also they're staring. Oh. Wow, alright, so clearly I'm in the mood to talk. However, as funny as all that was, we're not actually that far off topic, because if you think about it, anything's possible in this book, because with the main characters, without giving away too much, is you can have, they have sex in like this sex coma fantasy world. Like, they're both like in a dream, but they're not really asleep. They're like awake. I'm still trying to wrap my head around how exactly this works.
It's like time stops after they orgasm. It gets all like colorful and stuff, like all over the place. It's like
an acid trip. They get done fucking, and then they have an acid trip. That's pretty much what it is. But only the people who can experience that will pop up in this little land, and everyone else are just there still while the shit happens around it. Like, check out the DVD store or bookstore or something. But it's really cool how they do it. The art's really cool. If you look at the pages and just flip through it, you think that you're looking through like a 60s Dr. Strange comic in a sense. Much better art now, but it has that psychedelic feel to it. So it's pretty cool. It makes you wonder what they're doing while they're writing this.
Yeah.
Well, if anyone has met or seen interviews with Mad Fraction, we all know this is just Mad Fraction, and that's just the way it is. I love the sex tips, though, in the back. Did you scroll through the back pages at the top? Like, there's three pages that have like just comments and emails and all that shit on there. And at the back page, page. What?
I lost part of the conversation. You was just like, all of a sudden, you were static.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Okay, so it wasn't just me.
Yeah. But now I'm sad.
He's like, I was really on a roll.
It was only for like a split second. It was just like, and then it went back.
You know, I put my phone on vibrate, and I never get any calls. No one ever calls me. No one ever texts me. My phone is usually silent, except for three people who message me all day long. Usually, I barely get to talk to them. So I work all day. So I'll set my phone down on my desk, thinking, "Oh, this thing is essentially useless to me. It's like a walking computer for me at this rate." And then all of a sudden, people started calling me. So I threw my phone on my bed. So that's probably what the static came from.
Seems legit.
That might be it.
Probably was. Then a penguin comes walking through the room.
Get the fuck out!
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, if this shit, sex criminals, was real, think about the stuff you would. Okay, everyone, right now, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna play quick. Dreamland sequence real quick. One from each of us, and then we'll move on. So, hypothetically, if we could have sex with a woman, and we both go into this time-stopped world of psychedelic greatness and do whatever the fuck you wanted because your penis is glowing, what would you do?
Yeah. Probably keep doing it so it would keep glowing.
Not as much the glowing factor. We're focusing on.
Nope. Don't care about what world I get transferred to.
All right, fair. That's
all right. Just the fact that it
goes. I'm the type of person that would just enjoy the silence, not having to deal with anyone for however amount of time it lasts.
Would that be considered sleep, though?
No. Yeah. No. Just like she says in the movies that the comic book, that it was her time away from everyone. It was her, once she discovered it and like started it, really exploiting it, it became her way to escape everyone.
Mind you, she's this while masturbating inside of a full bathtub.
Yeah.
That's still important.
Ah, okay.
But, yeah, that's true.
Just hold the phone and go, you know, if you ever want to try the theory out, I guess you go into a bathtub. You fill it up, you light some nice candles, you start touching yourself, and then once you orgasm, you'd be like, whoa, la la land.
Well, hello, sailor.
Yeah. Check you out. You're just glowing, walking down the psychedelic lane. How you doing? I brought my hair gel.
What would be funny if you... What would be funny is if you, like, you go walking out during that whole time, freezing thing, you walking down the streets all naked and stuff, and then all of a sudden the time freezing thing goes away, and you're like, shit.
But that's the thing. When the time freeze stops, they go back to right where they were sitting. Which brings me to what I would do if time would stop.
No, they don't go back to where they were sitting.
Yeah, they do.
No, there was one scene in the comic, in the first one, where she did it, and what she was sitting and reading, she was sitting in her living room reading a book. During the whole time skipping thing, in her, as soon as it stopped, she was still sitting there reading the book.
That's what I'm saying. Once the time thing ends, you go right back to the same spot you're at.
What do you mean?
It means when you go into the time stop world, wherever you're sitting, whatever you're doing, you're going to be right there. And then when the time stopped world thing ends, you go back to exactly what you were doing right before it started.
No, that's not what I got from it. Because wouldn't that mean that she would be back in the tub?
Yeah.
But the I can take a screenshot of one of the ones where she was literally sitting. She did the whole tub thing, and then once the thing ended, she was like during the whole time skip, she was sitting on a chair reading a book, and then as soon as the time skip ended, she was still sitting there reading a book.
Yeah, no, like when the whole time thing starts, whatever they're doing, go back to that. Because she started reading the book, and then she went to La La Land, and then she came back, and she's still reading the book. You have to read the other three. You'll see what I mean.
Okay.
You'll see what I mean, because just from the first one, I kind of had the same general outlook, but after reading the next three, I kind of feel that you're back to the same spot. But then again, I remain confused, which I don't want to spoil anything, but the last issue totally threw me for a loop, so I don't know
if you're one of us did it yet. How do they rob banks then?
See, that's what I don't understand. And then there's some really crazy shit that we found the most in issue number 4. And I don't understand, like I find myself confused with the question mark. It's lit up above my head like a light. And I find myself doing the whole Riddler circling question thing off Batman Arkham City. What the fuck? You know? So, read the next three, and then when number 5 comes out in March, we'll review this topic again, and we'll compare notes, and then see if we have gained on any sort of common ground, because I don't think I even understand it enough to really with it. But I get what you're saying, and then I get the way I see it, but then again, I have read the next 3 issues, so yeah. Different things happen in the next 3 issues, so that's where the understanding might should be different. Or maybe I'm just an idiot.
That's always an option.
Yeah, thanks for supporting me.
You know I got your back, man. You know I got your back.
No, I don't know. You could be right. I don't know. See, the way I see it is that you go back to the same spot or someone relatively close. But I don't know. I could be crazy. I don't know how this shit works. But we'll find out. I'll reread them and then I'll give you a review. Yeah, you know, text message.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
And then we'll have a recap on it in 3 weeks.
Sounds like a plan, good sir.
Maybe 4 weeks. I don't remember when the next issue comes out. I think March 28th or 21st or 1st. I don't fucking remember. I know it comes out in March. So when I read it, and you read it, and you get caught up, and you read that shit, then we'll come on and talk. And then Zach will read that shit. Yeah, it's you, Zach, sitting over there in the corner.
Yep. I'm actually looking at it. Well, I'm trying to find it right now so I can go ahead and start downloading them.
There we are. So, with that being said, let's talk about the new X-Force title.
What? Yeah. Wait. Yes. Dude, there's a Dexter comic?
Yeah. It's been out for a year now.
Started today.
But there was one before that. It was a 5-part? Oh, no, 4-part thing?
I need to go read that. I'm really, really, really fucking behind on my comics, if you guys haven't noticed. Like, we took the month off, and I took the entire month off.
Yeah, but before that, too.
Yeah,
bitch.
Yeah, well, you gotta remember, you got me started back into it, and I had a lot to catch up on, so there you go. Boom.
Well, you bother.
Which has nothing to do with it, so.
And you also know that what's going on, I'd still be reading this every week, so Kratos has seen how much I read.
Yeah.
And we're talking about comics and non-comics. I am a reading machine. It's like my favorite pastime next to Black Lightning.
If you could read while rock climbing, I'm sure you'd do it.
Hell yeah, I would.
All right, let's get on to the
mutants, your favorite genre of everything.
Yes. In fact, spoiler alert, my top 5 is completely mutant filled. even my trade is it has to do with mutants. But anyway, the new X-Force title. I really liked it. I had a few things that I didn't really care for. Dart was amazing. Cable was a badass, of course. He's just sitting there taking down this big ass Goliath thing by himself. the story, I really like the story too. Cable seems, like he's a lot more like no nonsense now, you know? Like, he's always been like that, but even he seems more serious and more driven this time around. I really liked that, and I really liked how they showed the whole mission statements and all that kind of stuff. And but to the things that I didn't really care for, and this is going to be kind of like the salad slap of the week, is I couldn't stand how Marrow was the narrator. I literally stopped reading her narrations like halfway through the comic book because she was just so annoying. Her train of thought was just ridiculous. It was just very frustrating to try to follow her train of thought. And she was easily distracted by stuff in the comic book. And it was just like, it was just much too much for me. I was like, this is just dumb. They should just put a regular narrator in there. It was like she was writing a note to somebody. That was the general premise of the whole narration, was that she was writing a note to somebody. And it just got really annoying. Like I said, about halfway through, I was just, I'm done with this. I kept reading the comic book. I just stopped reading the narrations. Which probably wasn't good, because I'm sure there was stuff in there I should have known, but I couldn't do it. And the other thing was, spoiler alerts. Hope is in a coma. I really hope they explain what that's all about.
Yeah, what the Why? Fuck?
Yeah. Like, what the fuck happened? Why is she in a coma? When X-Force ended, she was fine. How is she in a coma now?
You know what? That's my argument either, because she just ended up, like, X-Force ended as well, where, you know, and then all of a sudden, this whole, like, the whole thing from Cable and X-Force to this one is that there's no connection point. It's like they just, well, they did, I guess, cancel the issue and just start it over. There's really no real connection of how these characters came together for this one. Like, Psylocke and Cable, yeah. Like, Ben and Cable, that makes sense. But the rest don't make any fucking sense. They all of a sudden, like, where the fuck did Phantom X come from? And which he's not as annoying in this one. At least he's not suffering from glitch syndrome. But,
I found him annoying. I found him. He was all right, but he was overly dickish towards Psylocke. I don't know if that was like their way of showing that he's hurting too from what happened. But I found him to be like overly dickish throughout the whole thing.
Well, I mean, I'd rather have him be a dick than fucking a bitch.
Yeah, that's true. Instead of being, oh, Psylocke, I love you, Psylocke. Psylocke, I love you. Touch my penis.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm not going to touch a wee-wee. And he's like, but, and she's like, I'll cut that shit off, son. And he's like, but I'm mechanical. But she's like, I don't give a shit. I'll reach in your fucking purse and pull that shit out, yank it out your ass, and make you eat it.
Another point a friend of mine made is another thing they need to explain is Marrow is not only how she became a part of the team, but
she came from
how she got her powers back. She's one of the mutants that lost their powers during M-Day. So even they even reference it in the comic book that she says stop asking how I got my powers back, and my friend even said that to you. She was like, they better not just leave it like that. If they do, she's gonna be pissed about it.
Which friend? Do I know this person?
What?
I know this person.
No.
Damn. No.
But yeah, that's another thing they need to explain. How she got it back and how she got on the team.
Yeah, I agree. I want to know how she got it back. But I thought her in-thoughts narration that she did there in that issue, I kind of liked it, mainly because she's violent, and I like it. I could keep up with her sporadic, just listening to who's talking here, I kept up with their sporadicness just fine.
You're like the same as her, so of course you would be into that.
Yeah. See, I feel like if she was real, we'd get along really well. I feel like we'd hang out.
Be the best of buds. We're the two best friends that anyone could have.
Flutter.
But right. I did. This was another point that my friend, the same friend, made, was that I did like that they showed Psylocke's hate for killing. Not a lot of comic books do that now, because she actually dislikes killing altogether. Like, she doesn't like doing it. And she even said that a few times in the comic book, and then she accidentally kills somebody during a fight, and she, just the look on her face is just complete horror.
Yeah, actually, I know what you're talking about.
And then, of course, Phantom X has to come in with a dickish comment. I guess you'll start that tomorrow.
That bastard. Yeah, no, that's what you're talking about. No, because when, you know what? I did notice that, and I was wondering about that. I read that 4-issue little run where she went back to Japan to burn her original body.
Yeah.
But she was killing back then, but she was pissed off.
Yeah.
Because the body got stolen. So, I mean, if someone stole my old body, I'd be pissed too. I'd be like, I want to bury that shit. But instead, you're fucking defiling my corpse, you sick bastard. That reminds me, if I ever die and I do end up donating my body to science and they toy with me in a non-sciencey way, I'm going to haunt the fuck out of them. I'm going to haunt the fuck out of them so bad that they're going to be able to sleep. They're going to go fucking crazy if not going to sleep. They're going to be fucking seeing shit, thinking they're on some sort of drugs. Fucking going to the same asylum, Joker style, all right? I will torture the fuck out of them. Yeah, you can cut me open and study my spleen, but you can't cut me open and start playing with me. Okay, sorry. That was totally off topic.
Yeah. All right, Maddie. Maddie's return.
Yes.
Madeline Pryor. She hasn't been in a comic book in quite some time. It's the new Sisterhood is Rising, led by Lady Deathstrike. Which I like her new getup. And I like Madeline's also, but she's wearing the most clothes I've ever seen her wear, ever, in any comic book she's ever been in. She basically is just showing only a little bit of cleave, and then the rest of her body is completely covered.
Let's face it, it's really hard to hide those tits.
Yeah, that's true. But other than that, I do like her new look. She didn't officially appear in this one. She was just in the cover. I personally can't wait for her return because she's one of my favorite characters. She's also an extremely hot character. So I tend to read whatever she's been in. But she's one of those characters that are like Azazel. They're both those type of characters that they come in, they fuck shit up, and then they go away. That's basically what they do. And then you don't see them again for a few years, and then they all of a sudden Marvel pulls them out of their ass. So it's like, hey, we haven't used these guys in a while. Let's throw them into the mix.
You know what? I was going to add on that, too. This it does seem like they're pulling a lot of characters that are sitting in dormant for, like, a long time. How's it working out? They come, yeah. Hey, we haven't used this person. What, Maddie was last used, like, 20 years ago?
No, it's not that long ago. She had the first sisterhood in Uncanny X-Men. I think it was like issue 508 or something like that. It was when it started. It wasn't that long ago. It was like five something years ago. It was a good time ago, but not that long ago.
In comic book years, it's 30 years. And in human years, it's 5.
yeah, that's true. But, I can't wait. Just like with like what you said with that they're bringing back all these characters, like with the new sisterhood. Lady Deathstrike hasn't been in a comic book since Messiah Wars. No, Messiah Complex. She hasn't been in a comic. Everyone thought she died because of her fight with X-23, and then she's back now. Same with Typhoid. She hasn't been in the comic book in a while either. She's in the new sisterhood. Same with Selene. She hasn't been in the comic book since before Second Coming. Or was it after? No, before. She hasn't been in the comic book either. And she's in this new sisterhood too. So yeah, they're bringing back a lot of these like characters they haven't used in a while. And like I said before, Azazel, he's in Amazing X-Men. Even though, like I said, he's probably just going to come in, wreck shop, and then get beat by Nightcrawler, and you're never going to see him again for another 5 years.
Which is a waste of a character. Especially his character. He's a good... You know, for as schemey and clever and as strong as that motherfucker is, he goes out like a...
Yeah. They do him no justice. I mean, he's... He's a powerhouse character. He's very clever. He's very cunning. And They always put him up against Nightcrawler, and Nightcrawler always wins. And then you never see him again. You don't see him for like another 5 or 10 years, and then he'll pop up again. Ooh, I'm gonna take over the world, and Nightcrawler's like, no, my friend, I don't even know, I can't do his accent, but still, it's the same thing. It's the same thing every time. It's like, will you please just give Azazel his due.
Their due will be chopped from his head. Just like that image you showed me earlier. What the fuck? If Angela cuts off Gamora's head, and it's real, and Gamora dies in the next Guardians of the Galaxy, I am going to freak the fuck out.
I know you are, sir.
I'm sorry, I can't get that image out of my head. I've been sitting on it boiling and stirring for like the last hour. And it's coming to a head, and I can't keep it in anymore. Just like I keep in thing with this Azazel stuff. I swear, if that
just
happens,
to update. Just to update everyone that into what's going on. I found a picture on Instagram before we got on here of a comic book panel of Angela cutting Gamora's head off from Guardians of the Galaxy. The comic book, not the movie. And he's been stewing about it this whole time.
Yes, I have been. And I have been very upset about this because this is when you know you're upset about something. You can't even put a sequence of words together to form a fucking sentence because you're that distraught at the image you saw. This is like absurd on different levels I can't even fathom right now. Like, if this was a SHIELD operative mission, this would be a fucking level 8 code red times 10. Like, I am beyond upset at the imagery I've seen. Now, with that being said, if this comes to be true and that character gets killed off in this run, I'm going to blame Bendis because he is writing it. I'm sorry, Bendis, you are a great writer, but if you kill off Gamora, you're going to lose a fan. Yeah, it's that serious. And when I see you, I'm going to yell at you, and I'm going to follow you with a sequence of comments.
Follow with a sequence of comments.
And after that, I'm going to go back to hating on you, to your face, Gamora. Now, this doesn't mean I like you, Amos. It just means I'm very upset with your decision. And you're a talented dude. But if you kill off Gamora, what the fuck, man? The fuck? That's like killing off. No, you just can't do it. That's like putting your own character, like putting the writer into the comic book. Like, hi, I'm Brian Michael Bendis. I have a big ass sword and I kill people. I'm in my own comic book. I'm a huge thing. And then kill yourself off of it. It doesn't make any sense. Why would you kill it all yourself? That's the suicide. At first, I thought this was for a myth. I can't imagine killing my own hands being the ones that. Whatever. Fuck it. I'm done. I can't even talk. Honestly, let's retrace this whole steps. Bendis, I don't hate you, man. I'm sorry. This anger just killing off one of my characters shows that I have passion towards that character. And ripping that character from me just makes me very sad and hurt. Kind of like the way George R. R. Martin writes The Song of Ice and Fire. He gets you really into a character that chops your fucking head off. This is similar circumstances. I see what you're doing here. Don't think I don't. I see what you're doing. You're going for a Song of Ice and Fire cosmic style. I dig it, but I hate it at the same time. You sly motherfucker.
All right, shall we move on?
Please, before he has an aneurysm over there.
DC Future Ed. I haven't been able to find too much on this comic book. It comes out in May of this year. Free Comic Book Day, actually. It comes out on Free Comic Book Day. I don't think it's going to be one of the free titles, but... or it may. Who knows? But it's going to come out on Free Comic Book Day. It looks rather interesting. All I've been able to find on it is that it's going to take place 5 years in the future. And it's going to be... Batman Beyond teaming up with Grifter. It looks like it's going to be like a post-apocalyptic type thing. From the art that I've been seeing of it, the art looks amazing. If that's actual comic book art, I'm really excited about it. If it's not just like stuff they've been come out, you know how they do that. I forget what they call it when they come out with this art to like hype up the comic book, and then once you get the comic book, the actual art inside the comic book is completely different. And that's going to be a huge ass bummer. But
that happens in every comic book you read. However, DC, as I know, they don't read a lot of their titles, but I do read a good handful, 5 to be exact. That, you know, their artwork's always good. Like, I just can't get into some of the stories. Some of the characters I feel are kind of blah. But yeah. I do with what Kratos is saying with the cover. Well, we covered this in one of the first talks we had for Comic Talk for being different from the inside art. We're always going to have that. It's inevitable. But there's times where the inside art is just the same as the cover art, which DC is pretty consistent on making them similar, where there's not like, it's, you get a notable difference, but not one where you're like, oh God, gross. I can't read this. This art is absurd.
Yeah. I've had a few comic books like that, but yeah, I don't really read DC either. Like you said, the characters are just kind of blah. I know that's going to be pissing a lot of people off, but I personally cannot get into DC to save my life. There's only a few comic books that I've been able to read of theirs that I can actually read. All the rest, I'm just like, I just find DC to be boring, personally. Like I said, aside from the few that I actually can read, I just find DC to be one of the most boring companies that make comic books.
They have great characters. That's not what gives the characters. It's kind of a fail at the lack of creative freedom that they're having with the editorial staff right now. Where the editor office is jumping down on the creators, not letting them have free roam as much as Marvel is. This is having an impact on the direct sales and the comics themselves. Thus, earlier in the year, well, no, earlier last year, I should say, because we're only early into 2014, DC had a monument of issues with creator and editor differences, where there is creative differences happening all over the place, people leaving because of creative differences, books getting canceled over creative differences, people getting fired over creative differences. This was leading, like, the bigger deal with that, Orson Scott Card going to write Superman. There was a petition signed to not have him write Superman. Because, you know, he's like anti-gay and everything like that. So they thought they were gonna turn Superman into this crazy Nazi-like character. Which I could see him doing that. But nothing against Orson Scott Card. He's written some excellent novels in his day, but he's rather harsh on his opinions, I'll say. But with that being said, DC has a long list of issues with putting out titles. This New 52 is supposed to be a new creative freedom, a new way to show how they can expand with their characters. I mean, this Forever Evil thing that they're doing is their main focus, whether anyone wants to admit to it or not. It hasn't been done before, really. So, I mean, it is fresh, it's cool, it's unique, but I feel like they're taking, I don't know, maybe I just didn't give it another shot, but the little bit of Forever Evil I read wasn't that great. But, like, there's the Batmans and Supermans are still good. Green Arrow, so we'll get into that later. Flash has great titles. I mean, they have good titles. Me personally, I can't support a lot more of those because I'm already spending too much money at the shop. And Marvel is really doing a great job, but they let their writers and their artists have more freedom. The more creative freedom you have, the more you're able to write. Which brings me, I'll talk about later. Let's just continue on. Sorry, Kratos, do you have more to add? I apologize. I went off on a tangent.
No, just that I'm really excited for this title. That's Batman Beyond is one of the titles that I can actually read. I really rather enjoy Batman Beyond. excuse me. I really like the comic book. I like the show too. So I haven't really read too much stuff with Grifter in it, like you said too. So I'm interested to see, like, what kind of dynamic they're going to have, because they're two completely different kinds of characters. So, yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting.
It should be good. They're going to get my money.
Yeah, mine too.
Just for the first issue. If the first issue ends up being a bust, then I'm not going to read it.
I'll give it the first issue try, and then if it's bad, fuck you guys. Fuck you guys hard.
Their Catwoman series right now is really good. Just as so far in, that's another issue. A lot of DC so far in, I've only read certain parts that I haven't been able to find a good pickup point. And yeah. Justice League was really good. Then kind of died off for a little bit after the Atlantis or whatever it's called, the Throne of Atlantis or whatever. After that arc, it just kind of died down a little bit. I didn't really like what they're doing with the Superman Cheetah thing. And then I dropped it during that arc and stopped reading it. I tried to pick it back up. Green Lantern just has too many fucking titles for me to decide where to start with that shit. The Blackest is a great fucking series, but that's old as shit. It's like back when Barry first came back as a Flash.
Which, dude,
was awesome.
Do you want to move that rated to Green Arrow? Since it's DC.
I guess I could, since it's DC. I like how we had Image to Marvel to DC to DC. We managed to work it out quite nicely without meaning to. I totally typed that in and didn't think about it till just now. Anyways, Green Arrow. As you all know, I'm a huge supporter of the TV show. And then, I'm a huge supporter of the TV show, but the comic, I just ended up picking up because there's a book started called The Outsiders War. And so I decided to get it, and I was like, okay, well, let's try it out. Turns out Green Arrow's comics are fucking awesome. The art's cool, and the stories inside of it are really in-depth and very unique. So if you get a chance, I highly recommend trying to pick this up and picking up around issue 23, I think it was, before this arc started. Totally worth it, and the first issues are pretty good. And if you get a chance, pick up Green Arrow Year One by Andy Diggle. It's really, really good, too.
It's a weird name, Andy Diggle.
Yeah. I know, and his friend off the show is called Diggle. I don't know if there's a connection there, but, you know.
I'm sure there is.
I'm positive there is. So should we do the top five?
Yes.
Okay, want me to start?
Zach apparently doesn't have one this week.
I have nothing. I have nothing. I'll be prepared next week.
You better.
You better be.
Oh, all right! Or, and if I'm not, then you can give me cut 1,000 your glowing lashes. No, I don't have one of those. If I did, you would never get near it. Well, oh, maybe you would, just because I'd be showing it off all the time, but... I was just going to say 1,000 lashes with a wet noodle.
Nope. Okay. You're going to get 1,000 lashes with spike strips, son. That's right. Back Annihilation 2000.
All right, want to go into your top five?
You want me to do it?
Yeah. You want me to do mine? Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, well. Brought to you by Tipster. Welcome to the top five. Well, no, this isn't really brought to you by Tipster. It just sounds cool that I just want to say. Anyways, so I have a top five, as always. Starting off with Daredevil number 36, the end of a run to start a new run by the same creators. Why they just continue on to a new arc of and moving to San Francisco is beyond me, but, you know, I don't run the office, so it's not really a call. I'm sure what they're doing makes sense. I guess it's going from number 36 to number 1 all over again, when you could have just spent it 37 and high San Francisco. Month without Daredevil. I'm sad. I'm worried. I'm petrified. I don't know if I can handle 4 weeks without the red-horned character of greatness. However, there's an Infinity comic that goes off that's every 4 weeks in the meantime, or every week in the meantime, till that next issue comes out, so I'll be preoccupied. Followed by that is Superior Spider-Man Team-Up number 10. Mark Cicchetto does the artwork for that. That's my initial pickup for that book. However, the writing in it is awesome. This issue is really good. Goblin Nation has turned out to be quite awesome so far, just like Slot has mentioned it being. So thank you, Dan Slot. Moving on, going to number three, New Warriors by Christopher Yost. Number one finally came out today. A very weird start, but yet I see how everything's coming together. So that should be interesting. The art was good. It's good to see Kane, aka Scarlet Spider, back in the mix. Followed by Uncanny X-Men number 17. We got to see more of the New Mutants again, so that was cool. I really like Ava, the one who got that time. She's fucking rad. And what happened in this issue, I would like to go into, but I don't want to spoil it for anyone, so I'll leave it be to next week. And if no one's trying to find that, then too far, I'm going to spoil the fuck out of it. Moving on, issue number 5, or top 5. Number 5, fucking A, I fucked that up. But number 5 goes to Star Wars, Dawn of the Jedi, Force War, number 4. This book has been great. It's a miniseries, but I really like it. I've been a huge Star Wars kick lately, so there's that. And then my trade of the week goes to I Killed Giants, which is a great graphic. It went straight to graphic novel. It's a great fucking read. It's about this kid who is denying and living in a dream world to escape from reality because her mom is dying from cancer. And she's trying to find a way to cure her mom from dying, but doesn't realize that she's doing that. She's not accepting the fate that is given to her. So this is her battle with denial and accepting reality. It's really intense. It's really good. And there's a few twists in there and things that end with, like, you're like, ooh. So great book. Great read. It's $16.95. Totally worth every fucking penny. Buy that shit. Read that shit. Smell that shit. You'll love that shit. Kratos?
Smear that shit on your face.
This isn't some crazy German stat porn.
Alright, my top 5. Number 1, you know it's going to go to X-Force. We already talked about it at length, so there's really not much else to say. I can't wait to see how this goes. Number 2, X-Men. Again, we talked about this too, the return of Maddie. Again, can't wait to see how that goes. Number 3, all new X-Men. I'm still on the fence about how much I like having the young X-Men around. It's kind of, I found it annoying at first, and it's still kind of annoying to me. I'm still kind of on the fence about it, but I'm still reading it. It's still interesting. It has X-23 in it, so it has me hooked. It has my attention as long as X-23 is in it. Number 4, Amazing X-Men. Again, Azazel has my attention. Has Azazel in it. I'm good. even though it's probably going to end with him being cast out into oblivion again. Number 5, All New X-Factor. This is a title that I just recently, well, it just recently started, but I used to read X-Factor, but no, I stopped like long before this new one started again. I like the new reboot so far. I've only read the first issue. But yeah, it's pretty interesting so far. And then my trade of the week is, X-Men Inferno. It's the story of Madeline Pryor, and Cable and Cyclops, of how she takes her revenge and all that kind of stuff. It's really good. I highly suggest it. I highly recommend it, I should say. Yeah. That's all I gotta say.
Anybody else got anything?
Cheese.
No.
Cheese?
Cheese.
Okay. Sex. I didn't know we were taking a picture.
Why not?
All right, well, then, that'll do it for us here at All Caps Rage Comic Talk Podcast. I'm Kratos, I say geek on, and I'm out.
Now, tips to go support your local comic shop, don't throw your headset, and remember, have fun in life.
And I'm Zach Daddy. Later, guys.